The Voters Education Program is proudly sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Stiftung.
A very good afternoon to all our listeners. My name is Lucas Katenda, and I'm bringing you our program, our weekly program on my role as a voter. I am with you today in the studio for the past week. Or past weeks, I have been out of the town. And today we are lucky I am around, and therefore I will not speak throughout. I will also leave an opportunity for people to ask questions. Last time I mentioned that it is our responsibility as voters to know the form of government under which we are operating and the people whom we think will be capable to lead us. And the last time I mentioned about, or I spoke about, the executive power that leaders of democratic governments are governing with consent of their citizens. That's why the elections are important. So when we say consent of the citizens, we are saying you citizens have the right to consent to a person to lead us, or to deny a consent to any person to lead us. This is what our constitution says, and this is why we conduct regular elections, so that people have the right to say, well, we thank you for the work you have done for the past 5 years, and now we will change our minds. So that is where we were last time. And again, please take note, the program is sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation, and I will be your presenter, and Eagle FM is giving us the air. Now, I would like us to pick up a new topic for today. Last time, we spoke that the consent is given to the people, and therefore they will be in charge of the executive, the implementing arm of the state, of the government, to make decisions on behalf of the people. Then you have what we call the legislative power. The executive power normally is checked by the legislative arm. Because remember, we mentioned already that in the parliamentary system, the majority party in the legislature forms the executive branch of the government, headed by the prime minister or by the president in our case, or government business headed by the prime minister. And in the parliamentary system, legislature or legislative and executive branches are not entirely distinct from one another, since the prime minister, members of the cabinet are drawn from parliament. In such system, the political opposition serves as the chief means of limiting or checking the authority of the executive. In a presidential system, the president is elected separately from members of the legislature. And this is why we say Namibia is both presidential and parliamentary. We are ruled by the president. We are ruled also by parliament. Okay? We are governed by the president. We are governed by parliament. That's why in the presidential system, both the president and the legislature have their own power bases and political, and not in Namibia, not necessarily different political constituency, but they can have different political constituency in case you have a president who is elected but was not supported on the ticket of any political parties. But in our case so far, all the presidents we have, or we have had, or the current head of state, were sponsored by a political party, and therefore they do not speak separately from the political party that sponsored them. But nevertheless, constitutionally speaking, the president is elected separately. Now, the legislative power is what I would like us to concentrate today, and I would like us, you as a voter, to know and therefore learn the best ways to practice the principles behind. The legislative power, elected representatives in democracy, elected, that's the point, the word, elected representatives in a democracy, whether members of a parliament or an assembly or a congress, are there to serve the people. They perform a number of roles essential to the functioning of a healthy democracy. So, we said, in a democratic parliamentary like ours, in which you have proportional representation, we elect, we choose, we vote in any given democracy. And this is the situation in Namibia, being a democratic, secular, and unitary state. We choose leaders. We consent to the leaders that you, friend, you can lead us. You can lead us. You can lead us. You can lead us, and so forth and so on. Whether your system, you are called parliament, or you are called assembly, or you are called congress, whatever you choose in your country, and in our case, we are a parliamentary. The reason to vote for those people or to choose them is to do what? To serve the Namibian people. To serve. It's not the other way around. It's not to be served, but to serve the people. To serve the people. Okay? And when we say serve the people, you have to do everything in your power to bring services to the people. Health services, education, economy, social, moral, what have you. Bring the service to the people, not the other way around. And elected legislatures are the principal forums for deliberating, debating, and passing laws in a representative democracy. Elected legislature, elected members of parliament. You keep on studying the word. Elected, chosen, people who are given mandate, who are given authority, are given the power by the people. They are the principal forum. They are the main platform for people to deliberate, to debate, and to pass laws in a representative democracy. And that's where consultation is very, very important. Elected legislatures, they consult each other. They consult their party constituencies. In other words, their supporters. They consult wise members of the public. Please, I'm going to make my contribution to Parliament on this topic. Can you give me some ideas? Or you call people, you do a questionnaire, you give them a questionnaire. How do you want me to deal with this matter when I make my contribution to this topic or to this bill or to whatever the case? What do you want me to say? And you come in Parliament and you speak. But when you speak, the listeners must always know that since you are representing the public, it is possible you are speaking with a reference from the people whom you have consulted. So, you have now an opportunity to deliberate in these forums, in this forum, and then you have to debate, and then you have to pass laws, because it's the only way you can call it a representative democracy, when people debate, deliberate, and then pass the laws. They are not so-called rumpa-stamp parliamentarians merely approving the decision of an authoritarian leader. Parliament, the legislature, is not a rubber stamp, merely approving the decisions of an authoritarian leader. Okay? So, there are complaints among our people. No, parliament is just what? It depends on the composition of the parliament. But even if the party has a two-third majority, which is not the best idea, but in case they have it, because if people vote, you can't change anything. If people vote and they give you 100%, you can rule with your 100% majority. But the point here is that you must not be malicious. You must not be maleficent. You may not become arrogant with the majority so that you can bulldoze unhealthy bills or bulldoze undemocratic policies and guidelines claiming that I have two-third majority. Then that so-called majority becomes just a rubber stamping. And therefore, it's merely approving the decision of in the case of authoritarian, autocratic, or dictatorship. So oversight and investigation powers allow legislators to publicly question government officials about their actions and decisions, and otherwise serve as a check on the power of various government ministries and departments, especially in the presidential system of governance, where legislature is separate from the executive. In this case, in our case, legislature is not totally removed from the executive and the legislature. They work hand in hand, because the members of the executive are also members of the legislature. Okay? Members of the legislature. But then, the legislature must ask. That's why you hear, especially members of the opposition, most importantly, and I don't think, in my view, it should be the members of the opposition only who should ask the ministers. Any other member of parliament has got the right to ask for clarification any issue pertaining to any government ministry, no matter the minister is from your party. For as long as you yourself are a member of parliament, you can ask that they would like to know what happens in ministry A, because they have this evidence. People may say, why you have to come to parliament to ask it? You should have spoken to me, maybe in our own in-house and so forth and so on. No, in parliament, you have to bring things to the fore so that you guys can debate about issues and bring changes when necessary. Obviously, there are times you may have to check in with others before you just come to parliament, but it's necessary to bring issues so that other members of parliament will know you are serious about these checks and balances. So legislators may approve national budgets, and as they do in Namibia. They must conduct hearings on pressing issues, confirm executive appointees to court and ministries. In some democracies, legislative committees provide lawmakers a forum for this public examination of the national issues. So, as a voter, take note, those legislators you have elected, they are going to approve the national budget. Number one, these people need to know what a budget is. These people need to know, need to have a knowledge, need to be acquainted with economic dynamics. They must know what is economy. The technocrats, it must be the people who have gone extraordinary miles to learn how a world economy works and how such world economy impacts the Namibian economy and how our economy fits in the broader economies of the world. So make sure you vote for people who understand. And when I say they understand, you don't vote for Lucas Katenda only to ask for the printing of papers, paper money, and then our economy goes down in comparison to what is happening in the world market. Because there are people who think like me, that why do we have poverty? We can just print money and give everybody some cash. But this is not how economy works. The economists, people who have studied, who are experts in economics, they will be able to advise you. So we don't vote for people we don't know. Yeah? They will approve budget. They must be able to read the numbers and understand the numbers and understand the concepts and the principles behind these numbers. Why do we say our budget is this billions and not this billions? And how do we divide these billions into all government ministries and so on? Very important. Legislators. In some democracies, the legislative committees provide for public examination of national issues. These are the people who must come to the public and ask for questions. How can we help in this matter? How can we help in this matter? How can we help in this matter? Legislators may support government in power, or they may serve as a loyal political opposition that offers alternative policies and programs. So you can elect an opposition, I mean a party that is not the ruling, but is loyal to the ruling. Loyal to the ruling in a sense that it provides alternative policies and programs that the ruling party or the governing party may accept. And therefore, legislators have responsibility to articulate their views as effectively as possible, but they must work within democratic ethics of tolerance, respect, compromise, reach agreement that will benefit general welfare of all the people, not just their political supporters. Each legislator must alone decide on how to balance general welfare and the need for the local constituency. So these are all the people who are voting to become members of parliament, the National Assembly and the National Council in our case. Know their work. Know if they are able to. Legislators often provide constituents with sympathetic hearing for their individual complaints and problems, along with the help in getting assistance from large government bureaucracies. To do this, they often maintain a staff of trained aides. Legislators. National legislators are usually elected in one of two ways. In plural election, sometimes called the first past the post, the candidate with the most votes win, and in proportional system often used in parliamentary elections, voters usually cast ballot for parties, not for individuals, and representatives are chosen on the basis of their party's percentage of the vote. How do you vote for these people? You understand their work. They are there to serve the people. They are there to serve the people. They are there to pass budgets. They are there to pass laws. Yeah. But how do you elect them? Number one, you must know them. Know them and be satisfied with their background, with their CVs, with their history. You must be happy with them. If you are not happy with them, don't vote for them. Don't vote if you are not happy with something. For as long as it is constitutional, it is legal, it is acceptable in the law, it's common, it's customary, then if you think you have a case strong against them, then you can vote differently so that you can try a new change, for instance. Now, national legislators are usually elected. I mean, as I mentioned, they are elected in two ways. It can be plurality, but we don't use plurality. In Namibia, we use the proportional system and where you vote for the political party. And that is where I think the political parties, as we have discussed them some few weeks ago, we need also to understand the ideas and the history of the political parties and such political parties' leadership. What do they stand for? Where do they stand in the world of ideology, political ideology, and in the world of economy, and in the world of moral? As we know that the moral issues are now becoming so heated in our context and people are taking it very serious, that if you are not picking up the ideas of the majority on a particular issue, you are undermining yourself. You are undermining yourself. So where do you stand on issues? And so that you speak the language of the people, not because that language is likable, but because this is what people are believing probably. So, you vote for the party and not for individuals. But still, these individuals who form up a list of these political parties must be up for scrutinization. So each party must come to the society and say, good morning, wait a minute, I am going to have candidates for elections. One for the president. I have this person. This person will be our president because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. As I've mentioned, in Namibia at the moment, there are two potential contenders so far, according to the parties that have indicated they will field a candidate for the general election in 2024. Now it's up to you as a member of the public, as a citizen, as a voter, to start studying the lives of these people, the public lives that we know, to start analyzing them on issues, their understanding, their willingness to serve, and so forth and so on, and see to it whether they are people's persons. Are they people who love the Namibian people, Namibia and her people? Are they these people? So you have to think about such matters. Then you make up your own mind. When you get into the ballot booth, voting booth, where the ballot paper is, you think carefully, you close your eyes and then you open them and say, well, I have thought enough before I came here, and even after I came here, I am going to vote and choose so and so to be the president. Or I will choose party A or party B or party C to represent me in parliament with all the people that they have given me. I have confidence in them. So, a proportional system tends to encourage multiple, tightly organized smaller parties. Plurality encourages a looser two-party system. Under either system, representatives engage in the debate, negotiation, coalition, building, and compromise that are hallmarks of democratic legislature. And legislatures are often bicameral with two chambers. New laws require both the upper and lower chambers. Then, not only the legislator, you have another body, and which is what I want to hammer today for in the next few minutes before I open the line for comments and questions. Independent judiciary. Independent professional judges are the foundation of fair, impartial, and constitutionally guaranteed system of courts of law known as the judiciary. This independence does not imply judges make decisions based on personal preferences, but rather they are free to make lawful decisions, even if those decisions contradict the government or powerful parties involved in the case. There is a doctrine of independent judiciary system, which is a bone of contention, especially when the court rules in a way that is not in our favor. We become so angry with them. But hereby I read again, independent professional judges are the foundations for what? For fair, for impartial, and constitutionally granted system of court of law known as the judiciary. And this independence does not imply judges can make decisions based on personal preferences. Judges do not wake up one day and just because they believe in a particular opinion, they will begin to give a ruling based on their own preferences on what they like and what they don't like. Never. They are free to make only lawful what? Decisions and rulings. When is a decision lawful? When is a ruling lawful? Is when this ruling does not contradict the Constitution of the Republic of Namibia, for instance. If the ruling does not contradict the Constitution, because the Constitution is a sacred document, democratically speaking, we have no problem with that. But immediately the law, the ruling, the decision goes against the constitutional provisions and obligations, then you have the right to worry and to complain about. Okay? However, judiciary can make decisions that can contradict the government or powerful parties involved in cases. It is us who put this thing in our constitution, the judiciary. In a democracy, independence from political pressures, elected officials or legislatures, the impartiality of judges. In democracy, independence from political pressures of elected officials and the legislature guarantees the impartiality of judges. When judges are to make a particular ruling, they must not be pressurized in public or in private. But obviously, people will always wonder and they will always begin to question whether there was a pressure from political or from legislator so that judges can be partial and not impartial. Judges are impartial in things. Judicial rulings should be impartial based on the facts of the case, individual merits, legal arguments, and relevant laws without any restrictions or improper influence by interested parties. These principles ensure equal legal protection for all. Yeah? Which means judicial rulings must be impartial no matter the case. They must rule impartially. They must make their ruling based on the case itself, on the individual merits, on the legal arguments, on the relevant laws without any restriction or improper influence by interested parties. These principles ensure equal protection for all. How do these things link to each other again? I said you know the form of government. You know what is the meaning of democracy. You know what are the political parties. You know how to elect, how to choose people, how elections are organized. And they said when it comes to Namibian context, you will vote for government that comprises of three legs: the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. Then you need to understand what does each of these things do, so that when you know they are not doing their work, you can be able to bring a case against them at the next election, more especially if you speak to them and they don't listen to you. Okay? So the power of judges to review public laws, declare them in violation of national constitution, serves as a fundamental check on potential government abuse of power, even if the government is elected by popular majority. Can you see? The majority can think about this, but still the constitution which we have agreed to must not be violated in any way or in any form or in any shape. This power, however, requires that the courts be seen as independent and able to rest their decision upon the law and not political consideration. And this is the bone of contention in most of African countries. People are not so sure if our judges are truly independent or they are pressurized somewhere where we do not see. The trust is not there so far to hear if this is the case. This power, however, requires that the courts be seen as independent and be able to rest their decisions upon the law, not political considerations. Whether elected or appointed, judges must have a job security or tenure granted by law in order that they can make decisions without concern for pressure or attack by those in the position of authority. In other words, whether we elect them or we appoint them, I think such judges must feel secure in their job. They must not be afraid that maybe if I take a case like this, I will be removed from job. No, they must be secure and they must know that I'm here only to serve. And if I am to be removed, it's not because of the decisions I make, but it's probably because of some moral failures or something like that. It's any criminal activity. Okay. Civil society organizes the importance of professional judges by providing them with adequate training and remuneration. Trust in the court system's impartiality, in its being seen as the non-political branch of government, is a principal source of its strength and legitimacy. Now it is now the courts themselves to show to the Namibian people that we are not in favor of this or that in order to take part in all this. Okay? Nations' courts, however, are no more immune from public commentary, scrutiny, and criticism other than institutions. Freedom of speech belongs to all judges and their critics alike. Okay? Yet a nation's court, however, are no more immune from public commentary, scrutiny, criticism, other than other institutions. There are some people in Namibia who are saying, no, you are attacking the court. No. You are disrespecting the court. My friend, in the democracy, even the courts are not immune from public outcry, from public commentary, from public scrutiny, and from public criticism. Just like any other institution. We criticize the executive. We criticize the head of state. We criticize parliament. We criticize public servants. We criticize, therefore, judiciary. When we think it's prudent and necessary to criticize them. Freedom of speech belongs to judge, and I mean to all the judges and even their critics are also included in this freedom of speech. To ensure their impartiality, judicial ethics require judges to step aside, recuse themselves from deciding cases in which they have a conflict of interest. If you are deciding on a case in which you are an active role player, you recuse yourself. Then people will know that you are becoming serious or you are serious. Judges in democracy cannot be removed for minor complaints or in response to political criticism. Unfortunately, even if we criticize, it doesn't mean we must remove judges from their position. Instead, they can be removed only for serious crimes, infractions, through the lengthy and difficult procedure of impeachment, bringing charges and trial either in the legislature or before a separate court panel. So, an independent judiciary assures people that court decisions will be based on national laws, on the nation's laws and constitution, not on shifting political power or pressure of a temporary majority endowed with this independence. And the judiciary system in a democracy serves a safeguard of the people's rights and freedom. In a democratic society, you have an elected government. And elected government is functioning in three. And the question is, how ready are you to consent to these people? And who are they, these people, who must govern us? They must possess which qualification? What about their skills, their experience? This is what we need. Now, I would like to open the line and call on callers to please call in, and I warn, address only the matter that is under discussion. Address only the matter that is under discussion. I know we have many issues to talk and complain about, but we cannot finish them in one go. So call us. You are free to call in the program. My role as a voter today, we have like 18 minutes or so. You have 3 minutes to make your point, and please give others a chance. When I say that, I really mean it. Give others a chance also to speak. And today's topic is linked to the previous week's topic, the people we vote. In democracy, we vote for leaders. When we say leaders, who are they? We vote for the president. We vote for the National Assembly and also National Council. And these people, we vote them for National Assembly, we vote for the political party. For the National Council, it is both the national, individual persons and those who sponsored by their political parties. So, I hereby now invite your calls to make your contribution.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal. Scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Mona asset tracking, otuna omayakuro dhingi mokutura mo u tracking device mi and itho marudhaga khe. Gamena oka danki bots wanako eko ngangara, otatu kupe uyerere, keneto vuru okura ndura oshe and itho shoe, okuzamo mtumba sigo mpoka shiri, pethimbo jomo njira, torongi ithashiki ongothiwe yopeke. Ana farama, ana ngeshefa, oshowo ana magumbo, endere nipa mwene thimbo, mokutona tira omaliko goe, okuza kongo dio peke, mona asset tracking. Oteku tuliremo uthano wo 4G wopo inje, uthano mbo kaka unonjironde, o haurongo kongkondo de tango, haurongo e thimbo keje, no monkaro mbe po keje, kohambono kofarama kwa ningi kopepi. Otatu adhika po matungiro gomalaiti, gatalera thana no mbirwa yondangwa Eben constituency, kuyerere, dengerane na kondra ketatu imwe imwe, mbali heali, ndatu hamano mbali mbali. Mona asset tracking. If it moves, we can track it.
Welcome back to our program after that short commercial break while I was checking on something. Now, I would like, in the absence of calls and contribution from the public, I would like us to continue. I said, please understand, learn, know the context in which you as a citizen have to make a decision about who to govern. I hope you understand now your citizen rights. Your citizen right, when we started. The form of government that we are following. There are many, many, many forms of governments, but we pick one form which we are following. Democratic, secular, unitary, presidential, parliamentary, in one go. And then we try to make it clear what is democracy. We try to explain what is constitutionalism. We try to understand the majority rule and the minority rights. We try to understand the political parties, and then we try to understand the rule of law, the executive power, and the legislative power, and now we just finished the judiciary power. This is the context in which Namibian government operates. This is what we need to know. And as I finish now, with the context, before we move, probably in the next week, we shall move then. What is my role as a citizen then, before, during, and after the elections? Having given you the background, the context, we now move on probably next week to talk more about what then is your role? What are the practical things What are the practical steps that you will need to take as a voter? Now, in democracies, questions of peace and war or other threats to national security are the most important issues of a society faces, rather issues a society faces. Okay? So in other words, what are the civil-military relations? The question of peace and war. The issues of war and peace are the most momentous any nation can face. And at the times of crisis, many nations turn to their military for leadership. We know this. The very reason why you have the war going on in Eastern Europe is that when the leadership fails, people resort to the use of arms to make their point known. And obviously, commentators have it to blame and accuse both sides for being heavy-handed. Some people are saying, no, American foreign policy is militarized. If you don't follow us, we will use our military force until they have reached the dead end when they can't use their military force directly and they have to use another person. And also those who are saying, no, Russia is just arrogant towards their neighbors and dictatorship, authoritarian, and what. There are accusations and counter-accusations by the political commentators. But the point that the common denominator there is that everyone is now using the weapons to achieve their goal. Everyone involved in that conflict is now using arms to make sure that they reach. And people go to war when leadership fails, when diplomacy fails, when people are unable to see eye to eye, when people are unable to speak. When you have presidents of super nations and they are unable to speak to one another, it's clear that arms will be used. And in the meantime, somebody somewhere is drinking tea while people somewhere are not sleeping because they live under constant fear. So, not in democracy. In democracy, you don't go to what? You don't go to military to help you. The question of peace and war other than threats of national security. Unless there's a threat to national security, which is the case in many cases of democracy, or democratic nations, when they have to use to take up arms. They are the most important issues a society faces and thus must be decided by people acting through their elected representative. A democratic military serves its nation rather than leads it. In a democratic society, the people who are in uniform are not leaders. They should not lead the country. They should serve. They should protect the territorial integrity and the internal security, as they say, when you have the police force, when you have the correctional services, and the territorial integrity is protected by the defense force. Anyone who seeks to attack us from any side will receive the full force of our defense to protect the people of Namibia. The military leaders advise the elected leaders and carry out their decision. Only those who are elected by the people have the authority and the responsibility to decide the fate of the nation. Military in any given democracy cannot take over the government. Cannot take over the government and should not do it. must not do it. They are there to serve the people. They accept the responsibility to serve the people. And when politicians are unable to deal with each other, it is not the responsibility of the military to come in. To say, no, 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 you have to listen to... No. Only in case national security, territorial integrity, when those things are violated by anybody for whatever reason under whose instruction, then we are provoking those who are there to serve the Namibian people on that level. But only political leaders elected, chosen, voted for, have the right, is mandated and consented to by the people to make decisions that are very serious on behalf of the Namibian people. And this idea of civilian control and authority over the military is thus fundamental to democracy. It is not the military that commands the civil. It is the civil that commands the military. Civilians need to direct their nation's military and decide issues of national defense, not because they are necessarily wiser than military professionals, but precisely because they are the people's representative. As such, are charged with responsibility for making these decisions and remaining accountable to them. In this case, when we say the civilian people, the civilian government must direct and instruct and must control, exercise control over military, it's not on the basis that the military doesn't know what they are doing, but it's because elected representatives were elected to discharge such things. They were elected to discharge such things, to make such decisions. Okay? Military in a democracy exists to protect the nation and the freedoms of its people. It does not represent or support any political viewpoint or ethnic or social group. Its loyalty is to the larger ideals of the nation and to the rule of law and the principle of democracy itself. So whoever is in uniform, especially those in military, they have only one purpose: to protect the nation, the territorial integrity, the safety and security, both internal and territorial. So if any threat comes from inside, the uniform is ready to deal with this threat. Very serious. It exists to protect the nation. It exists to protect and maintain the freedoms of its people. Political leaders too have no right whatsoever to take away the safety and security of the people, to take away the freedoms of the people. It's not the best. And when politicians, elected politicians, misbehaved in some countries, military leaders took decision in a very unfortunate situation. But it's the only way to protect the nation. It's the only way to maintain freedoms of the people. Sometimes it has happened in different countries. Okay? We are not here to talk about that. But it has happened in some countries, when political leaders misbehave, mistreat their people. It does not represent or support political viewpoint or ethnic or social group. You are very much neutral and impartial when you are in the uniform. Its loyalty to the larger ideals of the society, to the rule of law and to the principle of democracy itself. Civilian control assures that countries' values, institutions, and policies are the free choices of the people rather than military. And the purpose of military is to defend the society, not to define it. Military does not define, but defend. Any democratic government values the expertise and advice of military professionals in reaching policy decisions about defense and national security. Civilians officials rely upon the military for expert advice on these matters and to carry out the decisions of the government, but only elected civilian leadership should make ultimate policy decisions, which the military then implement in sphere. Military figures may, of course, participate fully and equally in the political life of their country, just like any other citizen, but only as individual voters. Military people must first retire from their military service before becoming involved in politics, and service must remain separate from politics. The military are the neutral servants of the state and the guardians of the society. Ultimately, civilian control of the military ensures that defense and national security issues do not compromise the basic democratic values of the majority rule, minority rights, and freedom of speech, religion, due process. It is the responsibility of all political leaders to enforce civilian control and the responsibility of the military to obey the lawful orders of the civilian authority. Lawful orders. So, that was the context under which you as a citizen will operate. In the next weeks, we will begin to delve into the question now itself. What is my role as a citizen before the elections, during the elections, and after the elections? But I said, start with knowledge. Start establishing your base. What is it that we are doing here? What do we want? What are the needs? What are the goals? What are the objectives? How do we get there? Then when the mechanisms are in place, then you understand how to set those mechanisms up and so forth and so on before you come to the implementing arm of giving certain individuals rights and privileges to lead us. That being said, I have not received any call today, although the lines were open. I hear now by invite, to sign off, and I will see you next week, or rather you will hear from me next week, the same time. I am Lucas Kalua Pakatenda. The program is My Role as a Voter has come to an end, sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation, brought to you by Eagle FM. It's a goodbye.
The Voters Education Program was proudly sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Stiftung.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Mona asset tracking, otuna omaya kurodhingi mokuturamo u tracking device, ni endito marudaga. Gamina okadanki botswana ko ekongangara.